Technology.ie. It's Wednesday, August 27th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Keith Folger of Istach, this is Conor Muinicon in the Black Knight studio, and I'm on Skype with Andy Churley. Hi Andy, how are you?
Hello, Con. I'm very well and hope everything is good with you.
All good here in Ireland, I have to say. You're in Gibraltar. What's the weather like?
Well, as with Gibraltar, most days when I look out of the office window, all I see is bright sunshine and blue skies. We have a very, very temperate climate here and it's good pretty much all year round.
Andy, you're the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, with a company called Famous for Media. And we're going to talk about new generic top-level domains. Tell me about Famous for Media and what your involvement is in new GTLDs.
Well, Famous for Media was a company that was set up in 2011 specifically to get involved with the new GTLD process, whereby hundreds and indeed thousands of top-level domain extensions, some are calling them domain endings, are going to be released on the internet. We are one of the larger portfolio applicants. We have 60 applications, and we have three top-level domains already out there on the internet live and running.
And those are ones which were uncontested. You were saying to me 15 in total of the ones you applied for are uncontested. So that speeds up the process a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. I think we recognised very early on that this is going to be a long play. You know, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. These registries have to be here and operating from now onwards, and therefore we predicted a relatively slow growth in internet adoption for these new generic top-level domains. So the most appropriate business approach was to apply for a large number of them to get critical mass such that we can provide an operating business that starts off from day one with good operating capital and good business growth expectations.
So three of your domains are delegated already. Those are .bid, .trade and .webcam. Nice ones. I'm surprised actually that those were uncontested.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those things that it was a bit of a lottery, I think, when we put our applications in. You know, we chose terms that we thought would have good adoption on the internet in industry sectors where there is a large internet presence. So things like internet auction forums for .bid, they're growing rapidly. With the industry space is moving away from the large marketplace sites into more local auction sites down to village level kind of online spaces that can be operated for buy and swap and make offers on local websites. With the webcam space, Cisco, I think, predicted by 2018, nearly 70% of all traffic would be video traffic across the internet. So we saw this as an upcoming space. Everybody pretty much with a mobile phone will have a webcam of sorts and the ability to transmit live video wherever they are in the world. So we saw .webcam as being a great place to have a critical mass of users sharing everything they do online. And .trade is a very commercial string. One of the problems or challenges we saw with things like the .com space with over 100 million names registered is the fact that back in the day .com was actually restricted. You had to be a business, a for-profit business, and .com stood for commerce. That restriction was lifted, and therefore .com kind of lost its meaning in the internet namespace. And we have the opportunity now with the new GTLD program to offer up more descriptive terms. So .trade is an extremely good example of this, where small, medium-sized businesses who want to trade internationally can pick up a .trade top-level domain name, a descriptive one, which will allow those overseas to actually help them find their websites. And it's kind of a beacon. It tells you exactly what to expect on that website. If you are have a .trade website, then you know you expect to trade in either internationally or locally, but you're expecting to do business. So I think these new GTLDs are an extremely good kind of qualifier and traffic qualifier for website traffic.
It strikes me, Andy, that there are two issues, or there are two types of customers for new GTLDs. There are the new businesses who are obviously attracted by the availability, and let's face it, traditional TLDs like .com in particular have become full up, really, and the best names are gone, as they say. So there's an opportunity for new people, new companies to carve out a niche, carve out a space in these new generic top-level domains. But there's also an issue, Andy, isn't there, for existing brands in terms of brand protection and in terms of the fact that in many ways, you know, you may have a large international brand who's perfectly happy with its .com or .net or .co.uk or whatever it might be. But they now find that they have a channel or a challenge in a way because they have to protect their brand in these new namespaces.
They do, absolutely. But you can look at this two ways. One is the brand protection element, and the other is, of course, the ability to address new customers and drive business across the internet using these new extensions. And I think over the years, particularly with large corporations, domain portfolios have become a bit bloated. You know, they've been acquired names either through brand protection, for brand protection reasons, through things like cyber squatting, and these portfolios have just grown. And there are a lot of names in an existing corporation's portfolios which actually are probably not very valuable names, and should they take the kind of business view of it, they would cut those names, and they may want to replace them with far more descriptive and actually far more useful names. I think we've been lucky so far looking at the rollout of new GTLDs that there hasn't been a tremendous amount of cyber squatting. I understand, you know, with corporations that there are a lot of options now, and I think one of the roles of the registrar is actually to help the brand owners make the right decisions about what is in their portfolio, what they should be acquiring, and what to do about names under all of the new GTLDs. It is a very confusing space now, and it will take time, I think, to kind of settle down. And the role of the registrar has become increasingly important in providing good, accurate advice on what names would be valuable to the businesses that they represent.
From your point of view, Andy, as a registry, where is the business? Where is the revenue? Is it in brand protection for these larger companies, or is it in the potential to sell large number of new domains, new names to a wide range of customers and businesses?
Well, for us, it's all about critical mass of names in the registry. We want to have vibrant spaces. You know, the big bonus of having the new GTLD program is the descriptive domain ending, which should appeal to communities, should allow everyday businesses and individuals to get involved in a vibrant online space. To look at one of our TLDs, which will be coming out soon, .cricket, that is incredibly descriptive. It has a nice and well-defined community of interest that we want to see kind of providing that critical mass of information, chat, blogs, etc., that will appeal to those that are interested in play or are professionals in the game of cricket. And you can do similar things with other professionals, societies such as accountants. We have .accountant, who would want to represent their industry in a kind of a better defined namespace. A good example of that is to make it easier to find online. Mm. If you, as most businesses have done, have registered a .com name which matches your corporate name, that's not incredibly descriptive because that assumes that the user, the searcher, actually knows who you are and what you do. And I think now with the you talked about the choking up of the .com registry, you know, finding valuable names, finding useful names, descriptive names in .com is increasingly difficult. You have to kind of move to three search terms effectively, which the new GTLD space will allow you to exploit. You have a descriptive term at the end. You can pick up, so let's take .accountant. Anyone who comes across a .accountant top-level domain would know what to expect. If I had London.accountant, that is also descriptive. If I had LondonTax.accountant, that kind of gives you a very descriptive name before even going to a website. And it will allow internet users to find sites that match their search criteria more easily, and also will allow those that are buying those domain names and using them to actually pre-qualify traffic to their websites, so they're getting what we would call a higher quality of visitor, one that is interested in doing what, getting involved in the business that they are, the website they're logging onto.
When you put it like that, Andy, it sounds very, very logical indeed, and it is the logical progression, I suppose, of the idea of the internet, all about diversity and niches and variety and serving basically a wide variety of specializations and special interests. It makes total sense like that, and you can see the real opportunity there is in the descriptive element in these new domain name extensions. But isn't it going to take a little while, Andy, to educate the consumer about this? I can see this people looking back in 5 years' time and saying, oh yes, you know, we now have a wide range of domains, and depending what business you're in or what kind of market or community you seek to reach, you'll go for something appropriate. But do you think the public gets that right now, and what kind of strategy and what kind of work do marketing people such as yourselves have to do to get them on board?
I think you've identified an incredibly valuable point there. There is a lack of awareness in that market space to the individuals and even businesses that may benefit from taking a new GTLD name. But it comes down to, you know, who should be undertaking that market awareness. In the industry, there are essentially the three R's. There are the registries that provide the names. There are the registrants that buy the names. And the registrars that take the names from the registry and provide them to the registrants. If you look at it from a pure marketing kind of textbook case, who is in the market to do general market awareness about the new GTLD program? Is it the registry? Now, I represent a registry. In fact, I represent 60 registries. From a marketing point of view, sales and marketing point of view, looking at it with a kind of cold eyes, my job is to differentiate my GTLDs over other GTLDs. It's not to educate the market generally about new GTLDs as a program. If you're a registrar, you would want to differentiate yourself from other registrars to make the registrants want to come and purchase domain names through you. But also, you want to be able to provide the best advice. You want to be able to convert visitors to your website. And so for the registrar's viewpoint, it's about conversion of potential customers into customers. And it still misses this whole education space about telling people who are unaware about new GTLDs in general. The one actor in this whole process that I haven't described yet or I haven't talked about yet is ICANN, the body that's undertaken to roll this program out and that manages and policy for new GTLDs. To my mind, it's ICANN's job to educate the market about new GTLDs in general without differentiating between top-level domain strings.
It may well be, but if the average man on the street hasn't heard about .cricket or .webcam, even less of them have heard about ICANN as an organisation and that. But I take your point, Andy, in relation to that. And let me put it to you a different way. What would be your general advice, even let's say it's not necessarily your role in Famous Four Media to promote and to educate the public about GTLDs in general. But what do you think, no matter who is doing it, what are the ways we should go about this, or how do you think the public can be encouraged to realise that there's a brand new wide open space available to them here?
Well, I think without spending a huge amount of money, and I'm talking millions and millions of dollars here, to do general awareness campaigns over, you know, various different media, I think actually the way that we will start to see new GTLD adoption is when the dot brands get involved. When we see Nike promoting its wares on through TV advertising, ending in a dot Nike domain name. And I think we're going to see market pull that way when the dot brands actually start playing in this space. At this stage, you know, obviously I will be promoting my new GTLDs through the relevant marketing media, marketing mechanisms to the market that I'm addressing. And we already spoke about dot cricket. You know, that is a fairly niche market in that it's well-defined. And therefore, when I'm promoting dot cricket, I'm promoting it to those who are involved with the cricket space. Mm. I'm not promoting outside of that. So, whereas I also have, you know, dot trade, dot racing, dot date, and I will be building my marketing campaigns to address the applicable markets there. Mm. So it's a very targeted set of campaigns from a registry's point of view. However, as a, you know, a portfolio applicant, I think we should have a relatively broad spread and cover a lot of different verticals and geographies. What I was talking about for ICANN was a general awareness campaign mm-hmm. to every man in the street, and that's what I think we're missing at the moment, where this just general awareness about domain names, it just isn't there, irrespective of what the string is. Mm. So all of the portfolio applicants will absolutely be promoting their new GTLDs. And I think we'll see a certain amount of adoption that way and a certain amount of awareness growth that way. However, I think it will take time, and it will certainly take the dot brands to get involved to get that general market awareness. I mean, we still talk about the dot-com boom. Whenever we append a term at the end of a website, it's going to be a .com at the moment. And until we break that kind of mindset, I think that GTLDs will have a relatively slow adoption. However, they will grow very much so. And we've seen, you know, more than a million registrations now in the new GTLD space.
But yeah, that's a very good point, Andy. But those million registrations are split among 300 odd new TLDs that have been delegated so far. And I want to talk to you for a moment, if we could, about the whole idea of quantity versus quality. A new GTLD with a descriptive domain extension is a very different creature to your much more generic. I mean, there's different levels of generic, if you like, .com or .net or whatever, .co or whatever it may be. We are talking really here about domain names that are of a higher value than the more vanilla ones we've been used to, and they have that extra descriptive and differentiative element to them, which is of value to the person purchasing them. But you're also talking about selling a much lower quantity of these at perhaps a higher price. Can you give us any ideas to, and I appreciate you may not want to share trade secrets so much openly, but for a domain like .cricket, for example, you're not going to sell as many as .coms, you're not going to sell as many perhaps even as some country code domain names might be sold, but you're going to sell a less number of those at perhaps a higher price. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think you've identified a very good point there. You know, we when we put our business plans together, obviously looked at best case scenarios, worst case scenarios, etc. And we did a large amount of kind of price analysis. I think it was very clear very early on that selling domain names at .com prices isn't a viable option at this stage for new GTLDs. In as the registries mature, and in fact we saw it with .com. .com I think was over $100 I think when it first came out. Those prices will decrease over time as the registries get, you know, critical mass and business stability, and as they understand their own niche spaces. At this stage, you know, we're looking at probably an average price of around, let's say, $30 for a new GTLD at the registrar, which is not, you know, it's not going to break the bank for the registrant. But it then comes down to the assessment of the traffic generation and the quality of the traffic that those names will generate. When we looked at the whole GTLD space, it was fairly clear to us that the best way to succeed and to be able to pass on kind of smooth out prices, as it were, is to be a portfolio applicant, such as Donuts and such as Famous for Media and Frank Schilling's Uni Registry. That will allow us the stability to operate a going concern with relatively few numbers of registrations in the early days, and be able to, through economies of scale, spread those costs across those registries and provide, you know, a decent service to the registrants with, as I said, you know, a business that is a going concern. So what we'll see, I think, is we'll see a rise in the value of premium names. So these are the generic terms that are highly valued. So if we would take the .com space, I think insurance.com sold fairly recently for something like $35 million or $31 million. So it's a good number of dollars, bearing in mind that in 1994, when it was first registered, it was registered for $100. What we're seeing in the new GTLD space is a relatively depressed or low value premium name space at the moment. And that means that actually that's an opportunity for businesses and individuals to buy a domain name now, the domain name that they always wished they had back in 1994, in a GTLD that adds that additional layer of qualification and descriptiveness, with the potential for, you know, large scale increase in asset value over the next, you know, 10 to 20 years. I mean, we have to take the long view on this. Mm. Registries, as they sign up to a registry with ICANN, have to commit for a minimum of 10 years on a rolling contract. So this is not a short game. This is the long game. Mm. And I think the ones that are going to be very successful are those that take the long view and that can kind of aggregate costs across a multiple registries.
You've mentioned the phrase critical mass more than once in our conversation, Andy. Can you talk a little bit about that? What do you assess the critical mass of a particular GTLD of being? And do you think that there will be GTLDs which will fail to reach that critical mass?
I think there will, absolutely. This is, as we spoke about earlier, basically a straightforward price versus volume curve. You know, you can run a registry profitably, or certainly at break even with a few number of registrations if they're high. You know, if the price you're charging for them is very high, and we've seen a couple of registries like .secure, .trust, and .wed. And .luxury taking this approach. If you move down the scale in terms of price to the .com pricing, you know, you need a lot. It costs a minimum of about $100,000, an absolute minimum of $100,000 to run a registry for a year with almost zero registrations in. So you've got sunk cost there already. So then you can just do the maths. It's relatively straightforward about the number of registrations versus the price you need to charge in order to run those registries at break even or at a profit. So, you know, I think in new GTLD space at the moment, 10,000 names in the registry is actually pretty good going. Now, it will grow over time. And you can look at, you know, between 50 and 100,000 names in a registry being a going concern, I would say.
Now, at the lower end of the... All of yours, first of all, Andy, are commercial registries. Is that correct? All of your GTLD applications. Are you doing any on behalf of non-profits or anything like that?
No, all of them are commercial entities. So they're all profit-making entities.
Good, and we hope so. And wish you well in that endeavour, without a doubt. But at one end, there is one end of them that, and you may or may not have opinions on this, that I would like to talk about, which is there are some registries which are being run, new GTLDs which are being run or going to be run on behalf of communities as non-profits, as charities or whatever it may be. They won't have the same commercial pressures. Do you think that they will be successful, or that this is that running a GTLD or starting a GTLD is an interesting or is a useful way, for example, to promote cohesion or solidarity in a community, for example, in a minority language community or some group such as that?
Absolutely. I think again, looking at it from a kind of a commercial point of view, while the charitable entities and non-profit distributing bodies don't have the commercial pressure to make profits as the, you know, the open GTLDs do, they still have the same underlying cost base. So unless they get adoption in that space by that community, it will make operating the registry long term quite challenging. So, you know, I think the underlying problem for all of us is the same. You know, it's about getting the critical mass of to make operating that registry a going concern, whether or not it takes profits or not. It's all about making sure you can cover the cost of operation, unless, of course, it is being funded in some other manner, which is true for some of the GTLD applicants. So I think it's fair to say that these, if they have underlying financial support to operate the registry, then they can obviously operate the GTLD for that community and grow organically. Operating a single GTLD, if you're an open registry, is a very risky venture at the moment. You know, you have to be very sure of your domain ending, and you have to spend quite a lot of money marketing it. Whether or not that would make enough return for you is I think we it's too early to tell at this stage.
Hence your approach of operating many GTLDs and that. Three of them, as you said, have been launched at this stage. Now, how are they going?
They're going very well. We're seeing predicted growth. Webcam is probably the highest volume amongst them at the moment. We have already had some very good premium name sales in the webcam TLD. We had the largest in the GTLD industry for a small package of about 14 names.
How many of those, Andy, would you describe or could be categorized as related to the adult entertainment industry?
For this particular sale, they were all adult related. However, you know, webcam does have a huge variety of vertical sectors, not although we recognize that the adult is a very large part of that. Things like tourist cams, weather cams, that kind of thing. There are huge webcam networks out there which want to kind of support their existing business models of basically building and delivering webcams with the domain name support, so that you have direct access to those cams as well. So that as an industry, it's quite interesting. I think, again, just with the early adoption of the internet, it became fairly obvious that the adult entertainment industry had a very early adoption of it. A lot of business models to date are based around the early adult industry go-to-market on the internet. Mm. So it wasn't a surprise to see, you know, adoption of .webcam as an adult-focused string. I'd say probably about 50% of the names we have in that registry are probably adult-related at this stage. And as with all these things, we will just have to see how they grow.
Indeed. You've mentioned .cricket with interest, and it is an exciting one. Are there any other similar ones like that that you are particularly hopeful about, or particularly we might find particularly interesting in what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, .cricket is an interesting one for us because it's kind of a minority sport with 3 billion fans. So it's a very interesting space. The other interesting thing about cricket is the fact that the one of the large sort of support bases is out in India and in the East, which are ideal target market for new GTLDs who have no legacy investment in .coms. We spoke about corporations investing heavily in the .com space earlier. And it's interesting to notice that kind of the emerging nations and things like the BRIC nations don't have that legacy investment. And therefore, I think we will see a rise in adoption of new GTLDs from the Far East, from India, etc., and again, from South America.
Any other ones, any other candidates similar to that we might be interested in?
Yeah, we have .football, .soccer. Those are obviously going to be big. Mm. The sports TLDs in general, I think, could be, because they have this kind of fan base, then I think they could have an extremely good footprint in terms of registrations.
Contested, I'd imagine, are they?
Those are contested at the moment. .racing is one which is uncontested. And I think, again, if you look at the racing space, you know, it can mean so many different things to so many different people, all of which would have its own critical mass of registrations in it. So, you have, even if you take car racing, you have various different flavors from Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR, et cetera, et cetera. We move into horse racing, various different flavors again. And I think dot racing is a TLD which could have a wide appeal. We see, again, gaming and betting industry has a huge adoption on the internet. You know, it's a massive growth business. And those strings, again, I think will be very, very strong.
It looks like it's going to be an interesting couple of years ahead, Andy. And I want to thank you and Famous 4 Media for talking to us this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure.